Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up on this bulletin, two more people have been arrested in connection with the fatal explosion in Chrysla in 2022. Gardaí are appealing for information in relation to recent related church burglaries. Over €5,000 worth of drugs were seized in Ballybuffet on Friday morning last, and the Taoiseach says the Israeli ambassador to Ireland is trying to distract from what's happening in Rafah. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Oisin Kelly has the latest from the sporting world at around 5:15, and Donal Kavanagh has the latest special report as the Highland Radio pre-election local debates continue. Two more people have been arrested in connection with the fatal explosion in Chrysla in October 2022. Gardaí say the investigation into the tragedy continues, in which 10 people lost their lives. Aidan Delaney reports.
Gardaí say the ongoing investigation continues to be led by local Gardaí in the Donegal Division, supported by the Garda National Bureau of Criminal Investigation and other agencies, including the Health and Safety Authority and the Commission for the Regulation of Utilities. The probe is currently being coordinated from an incident room at Milford Garda Station. This morning, Investigation Gardaí arrested a man and a woman aged in their 40s for alleged offences contrary to the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act of 1997. Both are currently detained under the provisions of Section 4 of the Criminal Justice Act of 1984 at separate Garda stations in County Donegal. In March, two men in their 50s were arrested and later released without charge.
Gardaí are appealing for information in relation to a recent church-related burglary. The parochial house at St Joseph's Church in Rathmullen was broken into on Wednesday last between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. The rear door of the house was damaged and entry was gained. Some paperwork was stolen from the house, but nothing of monetary value was taken. Garrett Milford and Gardaí are investigating. Meanwhile, a donation box in the entrance to the Church of the Immaculate Conception in Calais was damaged and cash taken on Tuesday last. It happened between 8:30 in the morning and 6:15 in the evening. Investigating Gardaí and Letterkenny are particularly anxious to hear from any local businesses who may have been asked to change a large amount of coins recently. Sergeant Eunan Walsh says there's an increase in such incidents and security advice is available.
We have two this week. We've had some in the last couple of months as well, and it's a problem nationwide. During the day, these churches are empty, you know, most of the time, unlocked for people to go in, pray, whatever. And, of course, they're vulnerable to attack. So, again, should any members of the clergy or any parish committees wish to up the security measures at their church or seek advice in relation to security measures, they can contact our new crime prevention sergeant for Fergus McGorry at Letterkenny Garda Station, 07491 67100, and again he will be happy to assist in any way in relation to extra lighting, CCTV or maybe even times lock into church.
Over €5,000 worth of drugs were seized in Ballybuffet on Friday morning last. It was off the back of searches in two premises in the Twin Towns. Included in the haul was suspected cannabis, cocaine, tablets and magic mushrooms. All of the drugs seized will be sent to Forensic Science Ireland for further analysis. An adult male in his late teens was arrested at the scene and detained at a Garda station in Donegal. He's since been released without charge and a file will be prepared for the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions. The Finance Minister says there will be cost of living measures in Budget 2025. The budget is expected to be announced in the second week of October on Tuesday the 8th. The National Economic Dialogue Conference took place in Dublin Castle this morning. The annual conference brings various stakeholders together for public consultation and discussion on the upcoming budget. Minister Michael McGrath says there will be measures to help people in the budget, however he's against one-off measures.
Of course there will be measures in the budget to support households with the cost of living. We have already committed to there being a social welfare package. There will be further measures when it comes to income tax, building on the work that we did last year. And I do think overall the emphasis should be on permanent measures and permanent changes to our expenditure and taxation framework rather than large series of one-off measures.
Meanwhile, there's been growing speculation that the government will call a snap election after Budget 2025. The Minister for the Environment says the Green Party's preference is for the next general election to be held in March. With Sinn Féin constantly dropping in opinion polls, some Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil sources say they want to go to the polls in autumn. However, Minister Eamon Ryan wants the coalition to run its full term instead of jumping the gun.
You know, you've got a choice between that, using political advantage maybe when the parties are down, or else you've an obligation to keep delivering new housing. Like, those housing numbers are starting to go up. Why wouldn't we just put the foot down on that pedal for 9 months and really deliver? My instinct is you're elected to deliver. Vast majority of people, you talk to them, they want government to work. They don't want them necessarily to be always thinking of their own political advantage.
The current crisis in the agriculture sector was in the spotlight in Brussels again today during an EU agriculture and fisheries ministerial meeting. Minister Charlie McConnell said in particular attention was given to the importance of how the EU can assist farmers in difficult times. He says Irish farmers have put in a tough year in relation to extreme weather events. The agriculture minister added that for that reason, European supports must be responsive to this.
And I particularly raise as well the challenging situation we've had in Ireland over the last number of months, last autumn and indeed this spring, in relation to our tillage and our horticulture sector and the particular impacts from the point of view of weather within Ireland and particularly on the arable and horticulture farmers. This is something that's been experienced in other parts of Europe as well, and it's something I'll be engaging further with the Commission in relation to. But I think the big takeaway and the big point of discussion today is how we make sure that the systems are in place that are at European level can be responsive in times of need and in times of crisis.
Police in Strabane are seeking the public's help in identifying an accompanied woman seen only in her underwear in Castlederg in the early hours of Sunday morning. At 2 a.m. she was seen walking the Muckle Hillview estate and two men were with her. PSNI are appealing to those with information and to the woman herself to make contact with them by calling 101. There's been another incident of vandalism of a tourism sign in Duhury. Gardaí are investigating reports that between 11:30 and midnight, a tourist information sign at the Corkscrew Hill was pulled out of the ground and broken, and a number of wooden planter boxes were turned over and the plants discarded. Anyone with information or dashcam footage is being urged to come forward. Meanwhile, Gardaí want to speak to a number of youths after investigations launched and after an incident in which an agricultural shed was broken into and damaged in St Johnston just before 6:30 on Tuesday evening last. Sergeant Una Walsh made this appeal for information during the Community Garda slot on today's 9 till noon show.
Damage was caused to a door of an agricultural shed in the area and entry was gained. Some damage and vandalism was caused within the shed, and we're appealing for anybody who may have travelled into the area around the time with dashcam footage to make it available to Gardaí. We are particularly interested in any sightings of five youths who were seen in the area at the time. So if anybody has can assist with information, to contact Errakenny Garda Station 07491 67100, or again the confidential line 1-800-666-111. The information we have, these are local youths, so we are asking parents, guardians to speak to their children in relation to the consequences of criminal behaviour and the impact that these consequences could have on their future. And again, if any of the young people involved hears this appeal, we urge them to come forward to speak to Gardaí.
The Taoiseach says the Israeli ambassador to Ireland is trying to distract from what's happening in Rafah. Speaking in Jerusalem today, Dana Ehrlich warned Ireland's plan to recognise a Palestinian state sends the wrong message about Ireland as a tech hub. She says it could lead to a crisis in bilateral ties as the plan is worrying Israeli investors in the IT service sectors there. However, Simon Harris says Ms Ehrlich is trying to distract after an Israeli airstrike in a tent camp in Gaza city of Rafah.
I think rather than anybody seeking to distract, I think what should concern the entire world today are the barbaric, horrific scenes that we saw last night in Rafah, where a displaced persons centre was attacked. Imagine this, a place where parents bring their children for safety and security, a place that is meant to be some degree of refuge and safety at this most horrific time, was attacked, was bombed, 45 people are dead.
Last week, Senator Niall Blaney called on his own party, Fianna Fáil, to ensure that the border counties and Connacht are not forgotten. However, Sinn Féin's Chris McManus says it's simply always been that case. Blaney made the call after he said himself and running mate Senator Lisa Chambers are being thrown overboard by senior members of the party in a bid to back Deputy Barry Cowan for the European elections. He later had a falling out with Micheál Martin at a press conference. MEB candidate for the Midlands Northwest, Chris McManus, says it's not surprising to the rest of the region who felt this way for some time.
Fianna Fáil have continued to drift away from rural Ireland, and that's probably accelerated over the last number of years since they've gone into coalition with Fine Gael. And from I think many people's point of view, they've lost any sense of identity. So while Niall Blaney expresses shock at his abandonment by Fianna Fáil, people in Donegal and the Northwest and indeed the wider west of Ireland are saying, you know, this has been going on for many years, if not decades. And the question would have to be is only now is he finding this out during an election campaign to realise how far Fianna Fáil have abandoned rural Ireland.
Fianna Fáil are going to counter that the biggest amounts of funding came in under their governments, the Objective One designation came in under their governments, that all the European benefits that have seen so much development in terms of roads, in terms of infrastructure in this country, came under the watch of Fianna Fáil in government. So the argument they will say that they have done nothing just doesn't stand up?
Well, look, the proof is in the pudding. People just look around them. People see our young people leaving. People see the fact that it takes an inordinate amount of time to get, from any place in Donegal or the Northwest or indeed the wider West to, you know, in terms of transport. We only have to look at, let's say, Letterkenny University Hospital. It's Model 3 when it should be a Model 4, it's the most underfunded hospital in the state.
Donegal County Council is to set up a working committee to survey all the local primary schools in relation to road safety and put a plan in place. The move was proposed by Councillor Paul Canning following the completion of the Safe Routes to School projects in Newton Cunningham, Raphoe, St Johnston and Remelton. Officials say these projects were delivered by a collaboration of the council, the school and local community and funding agencies with scope for more. They told Councillor Canning the establishment of the working committee can be considered by the newly elected council, but he says that would be too late.
There is funding out there to set up a plan, to get road design to set it up properly, and then to get a team in place. But I'm nervous that the new council coming in, it'll be next year before, you know, anything is sort of set in stone and we start getting committees and people start finding their feet again.
Are you satisfied that following the motion being passed in the council chamber that this will happen before the expiration of the new council? We're 2 weeks out from the local elections. There's not very much time for anything to be done in this regard.
No, but I spoke to the senior roads engineer involved and the director, the roads director of service, and he's well aware of it, and he's putting the bones of the committee together and how it's going to work. And then whenever the new council comes in, he's going to have the actual the civil servant side of the work done in relation to our road safety officer, the local engineers, the road design outfit, that they're all ready and that's all in place. And then when the elected council appears, that they are just automatically straight into a committee that's already in place, and they take up their mantle there.
We're going to go to a short break now. Oisin Kelly will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:15. Oisin Kelly has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We start with football. Reports are suggesting that Kieran McKenna will sign a new contract to remain as manager of Ipswich Town. The Fermanagh native has been the subject of interest from Brighton, Chelsea and Manchester United, but it's now understood that he's set to stay at Portman Road, with the club set to play in the Premier League next season. Aston Villa manager Unai Emery has agreed a long-term contract extension at the club. He guided them to a fourth-place finish and Champions League qualification in his first full season in charge this year. The Spaniard's new deal will expire in 2029. Adam Ida admits he'd love to extend his stay at Celtic if the opportunity comes. The Republic of Ireland striker scored the only goal of the game as they beat old firm rivals Rangers 1-0 in the Scottish Cup final on Saturday. He's also played a pivoted role in their Premiership title defence since his January loan move from Norwich, and says that he's enjoying his football.
When I signed, that was what I wanted to do. I wanted to play games, score goals, and I think I've done that quite well this season. And I'm confident again. I've said it before. Coming here has been the turnaround in my career. You know, the love I've got from everyone has been amazing. I'm back enjoying football.
Letterkenny Rovers claimed the Brian McCormick Cup on Sunday as they defeated Cager Rovers 4-3 in the final at Ballyar. Lee McMonagle scored a hat-trick in that tie yesterday. Letterkenny manager Stephen McConnell thoroughly enjoyed what he called a mad game of football.
As far as finals go, that's the best I've seen in a long time. I'd love to see what it was like for a neutral, but my heart hasn't settled yet. When they went down to 10, I thought we probably almost, you can't take nothing for granted, but I probably thought we probably had the game. We could see it out, and within 15 minutes, I think we were 3-2 down. So it was a mad game of football, very entertaining, very entertaining.
Then a show in Cockhill Celtic won a fourth trophy of the year as they overcame Buncrana Hearts 3-1 after extra time at McGinn Park yesterday. Cockhill manager Gavin Cullen was happy to take another trophy.
It was gutsy, it was determined, it was all the rest. There was no wild quality. The game of football didn't lend itself to today, which is disappointing. But in the end of the day, look, a win's a win. The cup final, you don't really care what way you do it. But we would like to play better. We would like the game to be more free flowing. But it is what it is. So look, we're just delighted to get the one and get the sort of another cup in the bag and such.
In Gaelic games, Patter Mogan is in the running once again for the GAA.ie's Footballer of the Week. Following his man of the match performance and the win over Tyrone last Saturday, the St Nolan's man has been nominated along with Armagh's Rory Grugan and Louth's Craig Lennon. Mogan was named Footballer of the Week after his Ulster final appearance, helping Donegal to a first provincial success in 5 years. He's also one of four Donegal players that have been named in this week's Team of the Week, alongside fellow countrymen Owen Ban Gallagher, Niall O'Donnell and Jason McGee. Well, there'll be lots of Gaelic games talk tonight on the DL debate, in particular reflecting back on Donegal's victory over Tyrone in the All-Ireland Series at the weekend. Joining Brendan Devaney tonight will be Eamon McGee and Ronan McNamee, representing the respective counties of Donegal and Tyrone. Plus, Irish independent sports writer Colin Keyes will also be on the programme, which will be live here in Highland after the 7 o'clock news. Dimin McAlean led Derry to their second Ulster Minor Championship in a row yesterday as they defeated Armagh by 4 points. It's also a fourth time that McAlean has won the Minor Crown with the Oakleaf County. Next up for the Dubs, or next up for Derry rather, is the Dubs.
Doesn't get any easier. Obviously the Dubs are all in quarter final, so it's a big game for us again. So I'm sure they're up watching and all the rest. And look, we'll enjoy this tonight. Dubs is definitely a big task. All Ireland, like you, every match is huge, you know what I mean? Every team's huge. Their champions are thereabouts, or at least finalists in their own province. So it means that they're just a bad level of quality. So looking forward to it, but the boys will enjoy a day or two now themselves, you know.
To Rugby, Ulster have signed Irish qualified out half Aidan Morgan from the Hurricanes on a 2-year deal. The 22-year-old former New Zealand under-20 international has played 23 times for the Super Rugby side over the last 3 seasons. Morgan's grandfather was born in Belfast, making him eligible for Ireland. Well, Hugo Keenan has been included in the Ireland men's 7 squad for this week's tournament in Madrid. He could now come into contention for a place in the squad for the Olympics in Paris later in the year, but is likely to miss Ireland's summer tour to South Africa. Connacht winger Andrew Smith has also been included, but there's no place for Vicky Wall in the women's squad, but Evan Parsons and Evan Riley are both included there. Finally, in boxing, Kieran Cassidy is just 3 wins away from securing a place at the Olympics. The Waterford light heavyweight stopped his opponent to advance to the last 16 of the Olympic qualifiers in Bangkok earlier today, where the Irish team remains unbeaten. Also at the competition, Dundalk's Amy Broadhurst won her first fight representing Great Britain and is into the last 16 of the lightweight division. That's your sports. Don't forget the DL debate's on later after 7. Donna Marie.
Thanks, Oisin. As polling day approaches, Greg Hughes hosted the second of our pre-election debates for the Letterkenny electoral area, where 18 candidates are contesting for 7 seats. Donal Kavanagh has the special wrap report.
Independent Councillor Kevin Bradley, the current mayor, said he wants to continue the work he's been doing.
I was elected in 2019. Since that time, I'm hoping to get re-elected again on the strength of the work that we have done. We have a lot of work done. We've brought the guts of $30 million to Letterkenny here for the regeneration of Letterkenny, all the great work that's going on. The likes of the open eating space there and Green Theatre, the old ESB yard, and the Alpha and Peter building that's going to go on it. The Lineker Walk, which is going to come up through there from the Social Services Office right up the Port Road up to the High Road there. The new transport hub, Market Square, is going into development there now.
Fianna Fáil councillor Donal Mandy Kelly was co-opted onto the council in 2020. He said he'll be standing on his record.
I believe since 2020 that I have worked tremendously hard to represent the people to the best of my ability. But I know there's a lot more work to be done and I'm eager to get at it. I believe that I'm tried. I've been tested and I have been delivering, and I want to continue doing that going forward. I feel that I've also worked very hard for each and every area throughout the municipal district where possible over the last 3.5 years, and I want to continue doing that as well.
Michael McLaughlin said he believes the Labour Party's vision is one which would serve Letterkenny well.
A number of years ago, I went on the 1st March for the MICA protest in Dublin. Came home and I looked around at what my options for standing were or what my options for getting involved were, and I liked the Labour Party notions of equality, fairness and justice. Became involved in the county party and from there became county secretary. I think we have some issues going on in town that we need to look at. We've got problems, and people are telling me about problems around housing, around traffic, around transport, and I think I've got the skills and the ability to do something to help out on that as a proud townie.
Sinn Féin councillor Gerry McMonagall stressed his record on the Regional Health Forum as well as the ongoing regeneration of Letterkenny.
We've been involved in many of the regeneration schemes. We've been involved in developing Letterkenny, the major retail and employment centre for Donegal. We also now have a university where the ATU has evolved into a university. This is all down to the hard work of the people in education, but also the people in the council. And this is something I'm really proud of. We have brought in over 30 million investment for the regeneration of Letterkenny and indeed addressing the dereliction within the town.
His Sinn Féin colleague Ulrich Hughes said as a young candidate in his mid-20s, he wants to bring a fresh perspective to Donegal County Council.
I'm not looking to just be a fresh face in the council, but I want to bring a fresh perspective that will stop my generation from emigrating in search of high-quality, high-wage jobs and a home they can call their own. Those of us who stayed have also found it hard. It's hard to live with the cost-of-living crisis that has spiralled out of control and hard to find a house, whether it's to rent or to buy. I don't think that it's acceptable that an entire generation has been either forced to emigrate or live with their parents.
Fine Gael councillor Jimmy Kavanagh said he's always striven to be innovative.
I've always tried to be innovative and to introduce things, including beach wheelchairs, the first changing places facility at the retail park currently in progress, smart technology to mark life buoys or to track life buoys at our beaches and waterways, funding for the adventure area of Letterkenny Town Park, an extension to the car park there. I worked with Minister Humphreys to secure funding for the extension of the community centre and proposed the twinning with Rudolstadt in Germany.
Thomas Sean Devine of the 100% Redress Party said while they're focused on defective blocks, they will be addressing other issues.
Not only for the crumbling homes, but for all our local issues that's out there. Like I spoke to you several times about our own water and our estate that's been promised to be fixed for years and the estate's been taken over, but never has. But there's a whole lot of local issues that we're going to fight on throughout the county. We're standing 6 candidates. We drastically need change, and it has to start in Donegal County Council. And we'll work very closely with those with the same interests as ourselves.
Independent Vincent Bradley said there is massive discontent at the government, and now is the time for action.
The politicians are not listening to the people on the street. That's what every person's saying. Our hospital down the road there, people, dread going into hospital. You could be lying in hospital trolleys for 5, 10, 15, 20 hours. Nobody knows. It's all falling apart. We have 14,000 homeless people, 4,000 of them children, but yet we're housing the world. How can we stop this housing crisis when you have a government that sent out a tweet in 8 different languages, come to Ireland, get the free housing, get all the free stuff? This nonsense has to stop.
Dr. Anne McCloskey of the Irish People stressed her commitment to the unborn and hit out at politicians' determination to promote vaccines during the COVID pandemic.
It fascinates me that people who are associated with parties that are in government aren't talking about the big issues since 2020. We had the egregious removal of our most basic and fundamental human rights by the Irish government, and the opposition only wanted to do it harder and faster. The lockdowns caused immense harm to our economy, and the whole now climate narrative and the Agenda 2030, which has been imposed, is decimating our ability to be sovereign as a nation and as a people.
You can watch the full debate on our website, highlandradio.com.
Looking now to weather, a mix of cloud and spells of sunshine this evening with some isolated showers. To conclude this evening's news, two more people have been arrested in connection with the fatal explosion in Chrysler in 2022. Gardaí are appealing for information in relation to a recent church-related burglaries. Over €5,000 worth of drugs were seized in Balbuffet on Friday morning last, and the Taoiseach says the Israeli ambassador to Ireland is trying to distract from what's happening in Rafah. That's all for now. We'll be back with more at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices this Monday evening, May 27th. The death has taken place of Sean McGannigan, Rani Kerry Keel, reposing at his home from 6 p.m. today. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 a.m. in St. Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Glenvar. Burial afterwards in Glenvar Cemetery. Family time from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to RNLI, care of Patrick Sweeney Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Bridie O'Donnell, ní Boyle, the Hall Lifford, and formerly of Butcher Street Lifford, reposing at her son Jeremy's home, the Hall Lifford, from 6 p.m. this evening. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 20 past 11 for Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Murlough Lifford, at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live at clonleeparish.com. The death has taken place of John Crumlish, Market Square, Moville. John's remains will leave Eamon McLaughlin's funeral home, Station Road, Carndonagh, this evening at 7 p.m. going to his home. Funeral from there on Thursday morning at 10:30 for 11 a.m. funeral mass in St. Pius X Church, Moville, followed by burial afterwards in Ballybreck Graveyard. Funeral mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. Family time from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. please. The death has taken place of Daniel Lynch for the Cottages Burn Foot. Daniel's remains are reposing at his late residence. Leaving there on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Vaughan, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu to the oncology unit at Letterkenny University Hospital or Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. House private from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Eddie McFadden, the Mall Ballyshannon, and formerly of Kerry Keel, reposing at his late residence on Wednesday from 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Removal on Thursday morning, May 30th, going to St. Patrick's Church, Ballyshannon, for 11 a.m. funeral mass with burial afterwards in the Abbey Cemetery. House private on the morning of the funeral, please. Eddie's funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.